Good morning and welcome to worship with Greystone Baptist Church. Greystone's a place where all people are welcome. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. It doesn't matter what you do professionally or in your spare time. There is a place for you to belong here. And we believe that we are better when we all come together, united by the Holy Spirit, to worship God and to share life, to share the journey of faith together. This is an interesting time for us to be trying to share that journey as we kind of lean into a hybrid model, at least that's what church folk are calling it, a hybrid model of ministry in which some people are coming to the sanctuary to worship in person at 10 o'clock, and some are more comfortable staying home and worshiping with us online, or maybe some are not living in Raleigh or traveling for the weekend, and so it's better just to join virtually. But no matter where you are welcome here. And we are so grateful for technology and for the Spirit of God, which unites us all throughout boundaries of time and geography. Today, we continue our three-week series. We actually end our three-week series on starting again. We have been reading from the book of Acts and remembering the stories from the early church when the earliest Christians were trying to adjust to their new reality, leaning heavily on the Holy Spirit to guide them and to help them know what to hold on to, what to let go of, and where the foundation really was in Jesus Christ. So this week, we're talking about the sacred act of letting go, of release. And we are perhaps beginning our time of worship in a spirit of prayer and openness, as we might bravely and vulnerably ask God to show us individually and as a community of faith what it is that we need to let go of. So in that spirit of vulnerable openness, let us worship God together.
In times like these, all hope seems lost as we wander through the wilderness. In this disease, we're turned and tossed as our neighbors find new ways to oppress. As we withstand the storm, will we be transformed so that one day truth may be restored? Out of isolation, be the invitation into one love, one mind of one accord. Again, though we bear the weight of all through which we've been, as we journey down this road, we are called to carry on and share the load. How then shall we gather? How then shall we lament? How then shall we hope? How then shall we live? We've drifted apart through time and space. How will we overcome the distance when fear rules hearts and hate is embraced? What chance do we have for coexistence? What can we let go as we learn to grow as disciples for justice in Christ's way? Seeking liberation in co-creation, we will breathe new life into each day. We are starting again, though we bear the weight of all through which we've been. As we journey down this road, we are called to carry on and share the load. How then shall we gather? How then shall we lament? How then shall we hope? How then shall we live? How then shall we gather? How then shall we lament? How then shall we hope? How then shall we live?
love speaks louder than words. Love speaks louder than words. When love is in motion, the message is heard. Love speaks louder. Love speaks louder than words. Love serves. Love cares. Love provides and love shares. Love will follow and love will lead. Love will nourish. Love will feed. Love speaks louder than words. Love speaks louder than words. When love is in motion, the message is heard. Love speaks louder. Love speaks louder than words. Words come easy and words can be used. Words can be empty and sometimes abused. But love that is true will be expressed when it is shared. Love will surely bless. When love is in motion, the message is heard. Love speaks louder. Love speaks louder than words. When love is in motion, the message is heard. And this is enough to live in love.
So good to see you this morning. I love that song we just heard. Did you like it? I really did. When I was a little girl, I learned a song that kind of had some similar meaning to it. It was different words and a different tune, and I remember the words went something like this. It says, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Okay, let me slow that down for you just a little bit. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You hear my little puppy talking, don't you? Well, that song used to confuse me at first. It was really fun to sing with all the walks and the talks, and it went kind of fast. But this is what it was talking about. It was talking about how our actions, the things that we do with our body and that we do with our face, they tell people a story. And so do our words. Our words, the way that we talk to people, the way that we talk about other people, the things that we say also tell a story about us. It tells a story about who we are and what we think and what we believe and who we love and how we love. But the song says that your walk, those things that we do, talk louder than our talk talks. So the things that we do talk louder. They tell people more. They tell people a bigger, maybe even louder story than the words that we use. My little ones are trying their best to do all the talking, aren't they? Well, when I was a little girl, I learned that the things we say absolutely matter. But so do the things that we do. and the way that we treat people. And if we say one thing and we do another, it really confuses people. And they kind of quit believing our words. Like, if we're using our words to say things about being kind and loving Jesus, but then with our body we're making faces at people and we're being unkind with our hands, like hitting or kicking or even just turning our back to somebody who needs our love, then those actions, those things that we're doing with our body, actually tell a bigger story. So we need to pay attention to both things. We need to pay attention to what we do with our body and our face and how we act, but also the words that we say, and make sure that they match, and make sure that both of those things are telling a story of love and kindness and acceptance. They're all telling the story that Jesus loves us. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves everyone. And we can use our words and our actions to show other people just that. If you keep going in the song that I learned when I was little, it says, when you decide what you're living for, just walk and talk for the Lord. Just another little reminder to use our bodies and our words to make sure that people know that we love God and that we want to show them that God loves them too. So this week, I want you to practice walking and talking in a way that tells a story, a way that tells a story that God loves you and God loves everyone that you meet. I'll see you next week, friends.
When God restored our common life, our hope, our liberty, at first it seemed a passing dream, a waking fantasy. A shock of joy swept over us, for we had wept so long. The seeds we watered once with tears sprang up into a song. Weeping, sowing seeds in hard, unyielding soil. With laughing hearts, we carry home the fruit of all our toil. We praise the One who gave the growth with voices full and strong. The seeds we watered once with tears sprang up into a song. Great liberating God, we pray for all who are oppressed. May those who long for what is right with justice now be blessed. We pray for those who mourn this day and all who sorrow. spring up into a song.
Please pray with me. Dear God, we are so thankful for all the ways that you bless us each and every day. Help us to stop and appreciate these blessings and see them in the large and small things as we move throughout our days. We offer all that we have to you, and we ask you to multiply our gifts, allowing us to bless others as richly as we have been blessed. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today's New Testament passage comes from Acts 4, verses 32 through 37. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. The word of God for the people of God.
If you love something, let it go. If it comes back, it's yours forever. If it doesn't, it was never meant to be. That's how the saying goes. If I were a betting woman, I would bet that most of you, if not all of you, know this quote quite well. You've probably heard it in a song or in a movie, or maybe even directly from someone who was giving you advice in a moment of despair or confusion, or maybe even loss. It's what we say to one another when a relationship is struggling or when parents are trying to figure out how to let their children grow up. It is a tragically beautiful reminder of the inseparable nature of freedom, love, and release. It is almost counterintuitive, though, because when we love people or things, we want to keep them close. We want to protect them, and perhaps to protect ourselves from the pain of living without them. But love without freedom and choice is not love at all, is it? Whether we like it or not, love renders us vulnerable. At the same time, in that vulnerability, we are reminded that love is a gift that comes from God and that remains completely outside of our control. And often, if we want to experience the fullness of love, we have to surrender everything to it, often giving up our plans, our expectations, and always releasing our ability to manage the outcome. In this way, love humbles us time and time again. Perhaps this is what Jesus was trying to teach us when he said, "Those who want to find their life must lose it." It's the same kind of paradox, at least. A reorientation of our human nature to store up, to cling tightly, to control, and to protect. Although we tend to think of love as an individual experience, there are numerous examples from Scripture which challenge that very perspective and teach us that love, free and mysterious love, is also communal. In the beginning, God creates out of love, bringing forth life from chaos. And after 6 days of that creative work of love, God steps back and releases creation to dance all on its own. On the seventh day, God rests and watches life as it begins to live into its fullest and freest expressions. Later, this rhythm is recreated as the Hebrew people live in relationship with one another and with their land, creation itself. The seventh day becomes the Sabbath day, a day of rest and freedom from labor. The seventh year would become the sabbatical year, a time for farmland to lie fallow and for debts, all kinds of debts, to be forgiven. Rest for the land and freedom for those trapped by debt. According to the book of Leviticus, after seven cycles of sabbatical years, a year of Jubilee would be observed. In the year of Jubilee, freedom and release would run wild. Debts were forgiven, land was released from its creative labor, and that land was redistributed, given back to the original owners or their heirs. Slaves and indentured servants were set free. Everything and everyone had a chance to start over, to begin again, and to be freed from the ties that bound them in and to the past. Jubilee was a year of liberation. Jubilee was a year of hope. Jubilee was a communal expression and a shared experience of love. The spirit of Jubilee is echoed in the words of the prophet Isaiah that Jesus quotes in Luke chapter 4, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners." The spirit of Jubilee is embodied in the mission and ministry of Jesus as he travels throughout Galilee after that first sermon, doing the work of love and setting free those who are sick as they are healed, the hungry as they're nourished, the poor as they are lifted up, and the outcast as they are brought to the front and center. Jesus doesn't wait for seven or for seven times 7 years. Jesus' whole life is a model of love, freedom, release. His whole life is Jubilee. The book of Acts tells the story of the early church as it begins to organize itself to engage in the mission and ministry without Jesus, but very much with the guidance and the presence of the Holy Spirit. As the church begins to grow and change, it continues to incorporate expressions of Jubilee. This time, though, it doesn't seem much like that obligatory rhythmic practice or a cyclical commitment that comes around every 7 or every 49 years. Instead, the spirit of Jubilee has informed the whole way of life for the early church, just like it had with Jesus. An overwhelming spirit of freedom, of release, and of love consumes their whole life together. No one claims private ownership of property. Grace consumes them all, and there is not a needy person among us. That's what the text says, at least. Those who had much sold what they had, and they brought the proceeds to lay them at the feet of the apostles so that they could be fully shared amongst all the people. There's a counterintuitive spirit of abundance and a shared commitment to love modeled through release. It seems the early Christians really understood the spiritual practice of release. Could it be that the act of release itself helped them understand the love of God more fully? They say if you love something, let it go. The problem is, we love so many things, and who can imagine letting them all go? And to what end? What difference would it make? One of our sister churches in Little Rock, Arkansas, has spent a lot of time in deep spiritual discernment about these very questions. Earlier this year, Pulaski Heights Baptist launched what they are calling a Jubilee ministry. It's a ministry dedicated to financial relief and assistance to their neighbors, to those in their community who are in need. And when I say their community, I'm not talking about within their congregation. I'm talking about within their local community. Through the generous gifts of church members, average ordinary people like you and I, the church has raised and will continue to raise funds to be dispersed through this Jubilee ministry. It is an ongoing way to proclaim release to the captives and to liberate those enslaved to cycles of poverty and debt. Together, the body of Christ at Pulaski Heights Baptist are living Jubilee. In much the same way, five houses of worship in central Kentucky have built a Jubilee coalition set on forgiving medical debt for families and individuals in the Appalachia region. St. Michael's Episcopal, Central Baptist, and First Presbyterian, all of Lexington, Kentucky, along with Union Church Berea and Temple Adath Israel of Lexington, all recognize the great and growing need. They understood that the need was greater than any one of them could meet alone, and so they joined together, sharing their resources, none claiming any ownership over what could be done, none claiming any ownership over the outcome. But together, their gifts, with a good measure of God's grace, are bringing financial freedom to Appalachia. Jubilee is happening in Little Rock and in Appalachia. Could it happen here too? It is an interesting idea, I have to admit. Love as release, love as freedom, love as liberation, especially for people who, like us, have so much freedom already. Because of who we are and where we live and what we do for a living, there is opportunity for financial freedom, for relational freedom, for social and political freedom. There is also religious freedom and freedom of speech and freedom to claim what is ours, the freedom to leave a legacy, to pass things down to future generations. And these are all beautiful things. But as much as we as a people celebrate our freedom, I wonder if we might have something to learn from the coalition in central Kentucky or from our sisters and brothers in Little Rock, Arkansas. I wonder if the Holy Spirit might be giving us an opportunity to learn from the early church, whose story is told through the book of Acts about experiencing God's love in the act of release. Perhaps there, we might find a freedom we didn't even realize we were missing. There's got to be something to it, this spiritual act of release, of letting go. Because if God models it in the very beginning, if the prophets proclaim it, if Jesus embodies it, and if the church carries it forward in every age, surely in the experience of release, of letting go of all that we think we love, surely we too experience our own glimpse of freedom. Maybe it's freedom from privilege and power. Maybe it's freedom from the pressure of keeping up with the Joneses. Maybe it's freedom from grief and pain. Maybe it's freedom from stress and worry. Whatever it is, maybe having the courage to let it go is all we need to experience the transforming power of God's love. And maybe as we loosen our grip a little bit, as we let go of all the things we used to think would bring us joy and make our lives whole, we might just find that losing our life really is the way to save it. Letting something go really is the best way to love it. And freedom is not found in all that we can build up, protect, and call our own, but in having the nerve to let it all go. Perhaps freedom is found in release. Perhaps love really is letting go. Perhaps Jubilee can indeed come to us. But even better still, perhaps Jubilee can come through us. May it be so. Amen.
This morning, as we meditate on the freedom and release of Jubilee, we'd like to offer a musical reflection that provides a poignant perspective on the hope of and the hope for liberation and freedom. As we as a community continue to educate ourselves on matters of racial equity and justice, we hope to continually center and lift up Black lives and voices in a way that honors them and represents them with the utmost value, dignity, and respect. It is in this spirit that we will now sing Bob Marley's Redemption Song.
Old pirates, yes, they are mine, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. Lead forward in this generation, try. Slavery, none but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, yeah, some say it's just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book. To sing these songs of freedom, 'cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs. Slavery, none but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop at a time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book.
Worshiping with us this morning. It's so good to see you. There are several ways that you can be a part of the life of Greystone, from the comfort of your own home or for joining us in some of the things that we're doing in the upcoming weeks. First, let me remind you that our diaconate is a key group in the ministry of Greystone. Likewise, nominating and affirming our deacons is a very important process that requires our members to prayerfully seek out those worthy of service in this ministry and nominate them for consideration. To allow more members to participate in this and for every voice to be heard, the Deacon Nominating Committee has decided to extend the deadline for nominating deacons to May 2nd. Completed nomination forms are asked to be in by noon on May 2nd, and there are a few ways that you can turn in those forms. First, you can access a digital form online in the emails that you have been getting on Thursdays from the church. You can also fill out a paper form and drop it in the box. It's a wooden box on the bench right outside of the office doors. Or you can bring it to one of our in-person services. Speaking of in-person services, let me remind you that next Sunday, May 2nd, is our outdoor worship service. We would love for you to join us. Once again, we will be over by our picnic tables, and we would love for you to bring a camp chair, bring your family, and enjoy worship together. You can also join us from the comfort of your car and listen through our radio station, and we'll pipe it right into your car, and you can join us that way if you wish. If you can't join us in person and you would like to join us from home, we will be live streaming that day on our YouTube channel, and that'll start at 10 o'clock. So you can join us that way, and if you can't catch us at 10, it'll be archived there and you can catch it later as well. So there are lots of ways to attend worship next week. On Wednesday night at 6:30, Pastor Chrissy invites you to join her for a discussion on the movie Two Popes. That discussion, the first part took place this past Wednesday night, and the second part takes place this coming Wednesday night. And she wanted to make sure that all of you knew that even if you didn't come to the first session or you're a little behind in watching the movie, they would still love to have you. Please join them. It has been a great discussion, and I think that you will enjoy it. So you can join them there. That information to join that Zoom meeting is in your email that you get on Thursdays. Again, thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again soon.
Sisters and brothers, as you leave this time of worship, we hope that there has been a word of comfort, a word of challenge, and a word of hope for you somewhere in this time of worship. And as you leave this time and prepare to get back to your life, to work, to household responsibilities, to family, to friends, or maybe just to self, go forth with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your hands and heal through them. May God take your feet and walk with them, and may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.